This is Nancy Casey with an update about the situation in Haiti, where grassroots activists in the country have been responding to the disaster there since the moment it began. This message was posted by Mary Tacey of the Haiti Project on the morning of January 20th. As you have probably heard, Haiti experienced another earthquake of 6.1 on the Richter scale this morning. This is not good, as it probably brought down many more structures that were weakened by the initial quake. From the USGS map, Petit Goave was strongest hit. Miragouane, where we catch the boat to get to the island of Lagunave, was strongly impacted as well. We have been working hard to contact every organization we can in an attempt to get food to Lagunave. Yesterday, I called the Jamaican embassy to find out about moving food directly from Jamaica to Lagunave. They put me in touch with the Organization of American States, or OAS, folks that are organizing relief efforts. Through the OAS and the Pan American Development Foundation, I was able to talk to someone who's going to try to get some help to the island. However, they are taking supplies from Florida to the Dominican Republic, and then from the Dominican Republic they're going by land to Haiti. They are a long way from Lagunave. The woman at OAS said one of the problems is that the president of Haiti asked that all relief supplies being brought into the country by boat be brought in through Port-au-Prince. Unfortunately, the dock at Port-au-Prince has basically been destroyed. Miragouane can also accommodate container ships, but apparently they are not allowed to unload there. The woman said that foreign governments have to abide by the host government's request to bring things in through Port-au-Prince. The OAS apparently discussed this in a meeting yesterday morning, and we're trying to verify more details. In reality, the situation is that with so many people still in desperate situation in Port-au-Prince, and with all the challenges that still exist with distributing aid, Lagunave will be at the bottom of everyone's list. Father Roosevelt just called from Pointe Raquette. He said that the earthquake this morning only lasted a few seconds, and there have been some additional shocks. Yesterday, he sent one of the young men, Cassime, to the marketplace in Tipalmis to see how much food was there. He said there was food, but it was very expensive. He also said that everyone was buying it up undoubtedly because they knew that the food on the island is close to running out. Father Roosevelt said that he has 14 to 16 people staying in his house, people from the mainland. The doctor at his clinic also has folks staying in her house. There are a few living in the clinic as well. All the rest of the people who have arrived in Pointe Raquette from the mainland have gone to family and friends in other places on the island. I asked Father Roosevelt how many days of food he has. He said he still has rice and oil and beans, enough to last maybe a week, but no longer. I also asked him to have the doctor conduct an evaluation of the situation in places like Nambouquin to see how long they have gone without eating and to see how much longer they can hang on. In some of these little towns, people were eating only once every 2 to 4 days before the earthquake. With no food for sale on the street in Pointe Raquette, with no money coming in, and with little possibility of making money, the situation is dire. I asked Father Roosevelt why people in Nambouquin weren't traveling to Port-au-Prince to sell their charcoal. He said they're afraid to be on the sea during another shock, and that few people in Port-au-Prince have money anyway. That was a posting from Mary Tacey on the morning of January 20th, and to it she appended a message from a person named Paul, working for an organization called Haiti Lumière de Demain. He mentions the town of Ansagalé, which is the wharf town where shipments leaving Port-au-Prince would dock. He writes, "I'm in the process of getting a more detailed update from our folks in Ansagalé, but the short version of our situation is as follows. Louis and I are part of a tiny nonprofit, Haiti Lumière de Demain, that does education and development work on Lagunave. Primary program is to lend school books to all of the kids in 19 primary schools on the island. We have one office and two staff members on the island, both in Ansagalé. We are not a relief agency, at least we weren't until a few days ago. The earthquake did serious structural damage, but initially we did not hear reports of loss of life or mass casualties in the vicinity of Ansagalé. The situation wasn't good, but it was tenable. Over the last 3 days, the situation has deteriorated rapidly. A refugee camp has sprouted up as thousands of people seeking medical assistance have poured in from Port-au-Prince. These people have no shelter. Food and water supplies are dwindling rapidly. The tiny clinic is overwhelmed and completely out of medical supplies. As one of the only NGOs operating in the area, the town has turned to us for assistance. Our director, Walner Michaud, along with a handful of other leaders from the community, is now leading the relief effort. We contacted AmeriCares in hopes of getting emergency medical supplies and perhaps establishing a line of supply, and we're also trying to contact some of the other large NGOs but have not succeeded as yet. That was a person named Paul writing from an organization called Haïti Lumière de Demain about the situation on the island of La Gonâve off the coast of Port-au-Prince. In the mountains on that island is a progressive school in the town of Matenois, and Robert Cagis is a teacher at that school. Several years ago, he visited Cambridge, Massachusetts to begin learning English and partner with an elementary school there, and he writes to the friends he made in that town. Hello to my dearest friends. I benefit now to thank you for all of your assistance, from prayers and all your words for comforts that you sent to me on the occasion of the dying of my very sorry cousins and friends. I really feel your prayers bring more force in my faiblesse, even if I am always sad, because this great devastation has happened in Haiti last Tuesday. And for the moment when we have a big food problem in the island because we do not have money to buy the products for our first needs, because they're very expensive and it's necessary to go far in order to find a little food. And more, we have almost an increase of half the people of the number which lived already on La Gonâve. These people come from Port-au-Prince. For me, I think this situation represents the end of Haiti. Thank you, Robert. You can find a link to photos of Robert Cagis and his family at www.couragewoman.org. Meanwhile, the director of the school where Robert teaches, Abner Sauver, he sends this message along with lists of destroyed homes into communities created as they continue to assess their situation. Abner writes in Haitian Creole, C'est pas un jouet touché la Gonâve. This is no game that has struck us. Nous tuguions pile moun plague pitiou mouri. Everyone has dead. Many children of the people in Aplag died. Aplag stands for the Association of Peasants and Activists of La Gonâve. This is a grassroots Haitian organization that's been working on the island for over 20 years so that peasants can improve their lives on their own terms. One of the people working in the United States to organize the movement of aid to La Gonâve through small NGOs is Chris Lowe, the co-director of the school in Matenois, who is networking nonstop from Cambridge, Massachusetts. She writes of the situation, Hunger is going to soar beginning in 2 to 3 weeks if more food is not available. We need to head that off, but we also need to do it in a way that doesn't disrupt the whole economical structure. The food should be sold off the dock at minimal prices so that the market ladies can do what they always do and others can come and get food for their homes and also buy it off the dock. There are also grassroots organizations and NGOs that could be asked to truck food to other distribution points. If there's no gas, we can mobilize the market women and their donkeys to move food, and we can also get people to move food in small sailboats. This way we can keep prices down for food and spread it across La Gonâve. Perhaps World Vision, who does give food to mothers and with babies, already has a plan in place? One of the pieces of good news is that the school is also networked with Beyond Borders and a few smaller NGOs. We received an email that this network has two on the ground now in the Dominican Republic, Anna Dugardi and Stephen Moyano. They'll provide help coordinating the movement of assistance into Haiti. Anna used to work in Santo Domingo for Beyond Borders and has also lived in Haiti. She also speaks Creole, English, and French. Stephen speaks both Spanish and English as native languages, and he is a gifted organizer and technologist. This is definitely good news for us. This has been an update on the situation in Haiti. You can learn more about the work of groups and individuals mentioned in this update and how to support them by going to www.couragewoman.org. This report was produced by KRFP, Radio Free Moscow in Moscow, Idaho, and Yin Radio at yinradio.org. I'm Nancy Casey.